We're at a wrecking yard with damaged cars scattered all over the place.
Now coming up, our guest shares the surprising lessons he learned as a boy working in his family's junkyard.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. We've been visiting with Roy Gobel about some of the concepts and lessons he shares from his book, Salvaged, Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard. Now, it might sound like a most unlikely place to acquire leadership skills, but as he shares in our concluding visit with him, these are lifelong lessons that, as a young boy, he learned while working in his father's junkyard.
Now, greatness in leadership. Jesus was asked about this, and he says in Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28, "But whosoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whosoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So, how would you define greatness?
Well, I don't think I need to. I think Jesus just did. That's a great passage that defines servant leadership and this idea that if you're going to be a great leader, you need to be a great servant and you need to serve the people around you on a regular and consistent basis. I think that's a big part of it. But I also think that we can get taken away sometimes about this idea of greatness. Look, we don't have to be great at everything. Actually, if you think about it, the world doesn't run on great. The world runs on competency. Mm-hmm. And I don't need a great tow truck driver when my car breaks down. I just need a tow truck driver. I don't need a great garbage collector. I just need a garbage collector. I mean, there's so many things that the world runs on that are just competency. So to me, the message there is, look, if you really want to be a great leader, be a good servant. And that's what Jesus is kind of turning upside down on all of us.
And along with that, when somebody is successful and becomes a leader of great responsibility, sometimes if they're a follower of Christ, they may say, okay, Lord, I have it from here. How is it to stay clung to Christ? I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So when you get up there, how is it to be able to humble yourself, to remember who's in charge?
Yeah, if you hit the top rungs of whatever profession or industry you're in, it gets harder and harder to not be wooed and tempted by your own success. That's a massive challenge in our culture. We see it across the board. Pick anything at all, politics, business, education, government, healthcare, anything at all, you're going to find people that have been highly successful and begin to value themselves more than they value their relationship with Christ. I'm massively guilty of this, by the way. So I'm not pointing fingers here. And a lot of pastors are guilty of it. And a lot of ministry leaders are guilty of it. So we're all guilty of it in some way. And I think we need to own that and recognize it and pray for our leaders, pray for the people around us, pray for ourselves.
Our human nature will take us in the wrong direction every time.
Yeah.
And so the more we stay connected with the Lord is just essential to be able to stay focused and moving in the right direction. Well, I was just going to ask you that, is what are the biggest challenges you think there are to leadership? Are there any other ones, pitfalls to watch out for that come to mind?
You know, I think the biggest mistake most leaders make is they don't listen well. And I interacted recently, a high-profile leader of a large company, and I was stunned at how, in the last two or three years since I had seen him, how he had developed this stonewall character where he wasn't listening to anybody. He thought he had it all figured out. And it was really sad. And I came home and I told my wife, that guy's going to fall. I mean, I don't mean in a moral way, but there's going to be a reckoning for that guy. because he's not listening to his staff or his people or anybody around him. That's a huge mistake. And frankly, all of us make that all the time. It's a mistake we commonly make.
We're visiting with Roy Goble, a successful Silicon Valley real estate developer, sharing leadership lessons he learned from working in his father's junkyard that he chronicled in a book called Salvaged. And we'll return to our talk with Roy in just a moment.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. You can friend us on Facebook, post on Instagram, and or tweet us on Twitter.
Also, you can email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
Now let's return to our talk with Roy Goble.
You also talk about generosity, mm-hmm. and you're involved with an outreach. It's called Pathlight International. Can you talk a little bit about that ministry and how the Lord got you involved in that?
Yeah, it really is the mission of my life. Pathlight came about 13 years ago now, I think it was. My wife and I have been involved with various ministries in a little country called Belize in Central America for about 25 years. About 12 years ago, two friends and my wife and I got together and we started Pathlight with an aim towards getting kids that are not in school back in school. It sounded so simple. In the system of education they have in Belize, what you and I would call kindergarten through eighth grade is subsidized by the government. But after that, the kids are on their own. So a huge number never go to high school. And you end up with a lot of 13 and 14-year-olds that have, you know, a sixth or seventh grade level of education, and that's it. We realized there was an opportunity there to get those kids into school in a very holistic sponsorship way. We call it a wraparound sponsorship because we want to eliminate all of the challenges that keep kids from going to school. So obviously financial support is part of that, paying for their sponsorship, buying their books, that kind of thing. But so does a healthy lunch every day, counseling, mentoring, tutoring, discipleship, working with their parents, helping them make healthcare decisions, all of this kind of stuff that we take for granted in the U.S., or most of us take for granted in the U.S., is not available there. So we started working in these rural villages that at the time, you know, it wasn't at all uncommon for it to be a dollar a day level of poverty. With inflation, it's a little higher than that now, but it's still deep poverty. And we started sponsoring these kids, and we realized that the bus fare alone was expensive. The bus fare was like a dollar a day just to go back and forth to school. Well, that's sometimes as much as that kid could earn, or his mom and dad could earn. So we stepped into that, and out of that came this exciting opportunity. The teachers started coming to us and saying, "Would you help me become a better teacher?" And we have trained roughly 20% of all the teachers in Belize now. And we are fully doing this with the Ministry of Education. We have a memorandum of understanding with the government. And we bring Christ into the classroom, and they're like, bring it on. They love it. So we talk about our faith. We talk about how the integration of faith and learning can be done in the classroom. We help these kids. And then, of course, another part of it is we have trips to Belize where people can come down and actually serve, and they will help the least of these.
I was going to ask you about supporting a worthy mission like this. I know of another organization mm-hmm. that had a worthy cause, and they would go around and they would talk about it, and people say, yeah, that's nice. But they couldn't get people to really sponsor mm-hmm. their organization. And they decided to bring the kids over, mm-hmm. and they had this singing group. And when they heard them sing and saw these kids, they said their pocketbooks opened up.
Right.
How is it for you to really get people involved in this worthy cause?
Yeah, well, all nonprofits have that problem, right? You have to find a way to tell your story well, and it's a crowded field out there. There's a lot of worthy missions and nonprofit groups out there, all of which I think, hey, if you're supporting them, go for it. We found that the number one best way is similar to what you described. Get people to engage with the people. It really doesn't matter if you're giving $5 a month or $500 a month. It will make a profound difference if you have an actual relationship with somebody. And that's what we try to push throughout all of our work, is this has to be a genuine relationship. So if you sponsor a child, we want you to come to their graduation party. We want you to come down and meet them. We want you to say, hey, I'm going to sponsor an incoming freshman student, and they're going to graduate in 4 years. So I'm going to start saving right now so that I can go to their graduation party. And we just had a graduation party in Belize a couple weeks ago, and it was fabulous. We had a bunch of sponsors come down, and, you know, celebration. They get to meet the families, the dinner in the homes, and the whole thing. So we really emphasize relationship. We just think that's critically important, and it's Christ-like.
Yes, I'll say.
Now, as we wind up here, do you have any final thoughts or challenges that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I'm not going to share any challenges. My goodness, come on now. That's a little personal. No, I'm just joking. You know, I think it's been a real joy writing this book. And I would say, if there's anybody out there listening and you're thinking about writing a book, do it. You'll learn so much about yourself. It's amazing. And you'll find out that it's harder than you think. And so that makes you trust in God a bit more. So that's always a good thing. But I've written two books now. I've enjoyed both of them. The process has been fun. And then it's really helped me to meet some fun people like you too.
Well, it's such a blessing for us. And I think that's what we're all here for, isn't it? It's to all do the work of the Lord and stand together. And that's what we want to do, is just let people know what's going on and how God is using everybody in a different way. So it's awesome. Great getting to meet you. We always like to pray for the people who we're talking with, and we'd love to say a prayer for you, and your ministry, and we invite all of our listeners to join with us.
Yeah. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Roy, and we pray for just the work that you've called him to do, Lord, and his wife, Dion, that you would just be with them, Lord, and just strengthen them, and just surround them with your love and wisdom. And also, as spokespersons for you, Lord, that as they go forth, just providing and encouraging those to be leaders and followers of you, Lord, that you would just draw many to yourself, and to also be with their ministry and outreach of Pathlight, Lord. To your glory and honor, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
We've been having a delightful visit with Roy Goble, learning about his leadership lessons that he learned from his father's junkyard, as well as he and his wife Deanne's work in Belize with Pathlight International.
Yes, and Roy's book is entitled Salvaged: Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard. And it's available online and at most book outlets. Or simply go to his website at junkyardwisdom.com. That's junkyardwisdom.com to find out more.
Also, if you're enjoying this feature, we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any of the other platforms for podcasts. You can also listen to us on a smart speaker. Simply say Alexa or Siri or Google, play the current podcast, Connections with Rich and Bobby.
Yes, and we're also on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also contact us by email at connect2@gmail.com, or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501. This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So we thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.